Wow, what an absolute joy to be with you this morning. Oh, hang on, it's upside down. Here we go. That's not going to start well otherwise. It is an absolute delight to be here. John and I were just saying that we think it's probably been maybe 5 years since we were here with you. And it feels always such a great privilege to come and share about the work of Open Door Exmouth. And this morning, I'm going to reflect with you on what it means by Jesus to go and make a difference. There'll be some people here that maybe don't know about Open Door. So I'm going to start by sharing a short film with you that it's very handmade, just saying. Like, you know, don't set the bar too high here. But we just wanted to encapsulate some of the work that we carried out in Exmouth last year. So I'm going to show that to you, and then I will talk a bit more. So part of what Open Door does is about getting out into our community and reaching people who are most in need. And as Christians, we're all familiar, aren't we, with Jesus' great commission in Matthew 28, where he commands us to go and make disciples of all nations. But today, I really want us to focus on what this looks like in our communities here and now. How can we, faithful followers of Jesus, go out into our neighbourhoods and our towns and make a tangible difference? To start with, let's turn our attention to the scripture that we heard this morning. And I believe this speaks deeply to the theme of going, of helping, and being the hands and feet of Jesus. So Isaiah 58, 6 to 12, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah about the kind of fasting or religious devotion that truly pleases him. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. What a powerful image of what it means to be God's people. Isaiah speaks to us today about going, not just with words, but with action. This is God's heart for justice, mercy, and restoration. A call to care for the broken, poor, and oppressed. At Open Door, we strive to be the well-watered garden in our community that's described in verse 11, meeting the needs of those around us. Last year alone, just in our community cafe, we received about 12,500 visits. We provided one-to-one support for 67% more people than we did the year before. Last year, we saw a level of need that blew our minds. We couldn't quite comprehend how many people were coming through the door desperate. We particularly saw an extraordinary increase in visits from people who were homeless. The numbers of people we saw reflected stories of hardship, mainly driven by the cost of living crisis. And we saw more women and families seeking assistance than ever before. In January of this year, we started a new youth cafe called Toast. Runs twice a week, straight after school for secondary school children. And you know, for those young people that come to Toast, it is more than just a youth cafe to hang out. It's a safe haven. Some of these children, young people, they don't feel safe at school. And sadly, home isn't always a safe place either. At Toast, we get the privilege to actually sit with them shoulder to shoulder and face to face. We play Uno and puzzles and all sorts of other things, but we make sure that they feel heard and seen. Within the first few months of us starting, we had 7 instances where young people shared something so concerning that we had to take action to ensure their safety after they left our group. And I can't help but wonder, if we weren't there, would their stories have been heard? Next year, Open Door is celebrating 30 years of serving our town. And our theme will be, everyone has a story. We've even put this phrase on the back of the wall in the cafe for everyone to see. It's an equalizer. Because, you know, every one of our volunteers has a story. Every member of staff has a story, and a beneficiary of Open Door has a story. I have a story. You have a story. The person sitting next to you has a story. Jesus himself used stories to reveal the kingdom of God and to help people understand his ways. When we take the time to listen to someone's personal story, we open ourselves up to truly understanding them and discovering what they need. One of my great learning points when I came to Open Door, and I've been around Open Door for about 7 years now, and in this role was 3, I think I thought I knew stuff. I think I thought I knew how to help people. I think I thought I could look at someone and know what they needed, or I could take a tiny bit of what they told me. My word, that is not the case. I have been truly changed by giving time to a whole person's story. In Isaiah 58, God is clear. True devotion is not just about rituals or church services. It's about practical action. It's about loosing the chains of injustice, feeding the hungry, providing shelter for the homeless, and clothing the naked. It's about stepping into the needs of those around us and bringing God's light into the very darkest of places. Part of my job is about getting funding. It's the hardest part of my job. But when we share the work of Open Door, especially with funders and statutory agencies, we often emphasize data. You know, it's how many people we've seen, how many people through the door, to emphasize impact. But the truth is, for us at Open Door, it's always the stories that matter the very most. In a conversation recently with a regular cafe visitor, he told me his plan on how he was going to save some money. This means turning the boiler off all winter, boiling the kettle in the morning to make a cup of tea, using that same water to wash in, and then he'll leave the house and he'll spend most of his day with us at Open Door so he's warm. Friends, we have been and still are living in desperate times. As we think about how we can go into our communities and make a difference, we have to understand that everyone has a story. Every single person we encounter carries with them a unique narrative of struggle, of hope, of joy, and pain. And often it's hearing these stories that we connect with others in a way that transcends differences between us. Jesus knew this better than anyone, didn't he? Throughout his ministry, he drew near to people whose stories were really messy. He was not afraid of the messy or the complicated for those people who were filled with shame. We need to think about maybe the woman at the well, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus didn't shy away from the outcasts. Instead, he sat with them, listened to them, and offered them grace and hope. I don't know about you, but sometimes, I don't tend to nowadays, but I would have crossed the road. I think in the past, if I thought someone was drunk or they just looked really scary. And I think we have to be wise, don't get me wrong. I think we have to be wise about keeping ourselves safe always. But I wonder what it looks like when we do stop. At Open Door, we welcome the misfits, the broken, the lost, the hungry, the lonely, and the hopeless. Those people we might instinctively avoid on the street. The wonderful thing is as team, we are safe together, and we open our doors, and we can guarantee that anyone walking in will find safety and kindness where they're treated with absolute dignity and receive a warm welcome. Every person who enters our door comes with a story, and no one is exempt from pain or suffering. When we take the time to listen, we discover the deeper reasons behind someone's situation. We learn why an addict became an addict. Why a man who once ran a very successful business is now sleeping in his car. We hear about childhood trauma that's never healed. And we understand how brokenness can shape someone's life year after year after year. And at Open Door, I've had the great privilege of hearing many stories. Some are heart-wrenching, stories of loss and trauma and hardship. But others are filled with unexpected hope. You know what? Whenever I hear a story, it is me that's changed. I think I'm coming to help someone else. The reality is, I often see Jesus in those people. And it's me that's humbled. It's me that's changed. My hard edges just soften and my opinions shift. My judgment changes to compassion. I think God changes us most when we dare to go. and hang out with people who aren't like us. And in turn, we get to reflect the love of God in the darkest of places. A few months ago, I was helping a woman. I would say she was in her 40s. She was in a desperate state, actually, and had decided she was sleeping rough on the cold. It was the coldest night of the year back in January, February. And I was really concerned about her. She had a house, but for reasons I'm not going into, she couldn't be there. And it was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what to do. There was no housing. Housing couldn't help. And anyway, we got her through the night, one way or another. But the next morning, I got in early, got her back into Open Door, warmed her up, gave her a cup of tea. And she began to share her story with me. And it was a story of alcoholism, of abuse, of bereavement, and desperation. I didn't know how to fix the situation. In fact, I couldn't. But what I could do in that moment was give her a hot drink, a shower, some food, and some clothes. And I just sat and listened to her. And there was this moment, and she was sat at the table, both sat at this table, and she just looked at me and she said, "Stop." Like, because I'd said something nice. And she said, "Why are you loving me? I don't deserve it." Everyone deserves to be heard. Everyone deserves to have their basic needs met, to be listened to. And most of all, everyone deserves to be loved. Jesus teaches us that no one's story disqualifies them from love. No one. In fact, it's often in the messiness of the story that God's grace shines the brightest. We are called to listen without judgment and offer the same compassion that Jesus offers us. The act of listening breaks down the barriers. It reminds us that we are all human, all made in the image of God, and we all need grace. So why do we go? We go because Jesus himself went. He left the glory of heaven, entered our world, and he lived among us. His ministry was always on the move. He went from village to village, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, restoring the broken. And we're his followers, and we're called to do the same, to step outside of our comfort zones, leaving behind our assumptions and walking alongside those who are hurting. When we do this, when we truly engage with our communities, we do see transformation, both in the lives of those we serve and in our own hearts. When we go, when we choose to invest in people and listen to their stories, we bring the hope of Jesus into their lives in very real ways. And in the process, we are most definitely changed too. To be fair, the older I get, the more I do this work, the less I know, frankly. But I know God is good, and I know God is faithful, and I know that in a place of humility, God always shows up, always. The question I guess I want to leave with you today is, how can you go? What does it look like for you to take up the call to go and make a difference? You know, it might not be through something like Open Door. It might be through something smaller, just right where you are. Reaching out to a lonely neighbor, helping in a community group, or supporting a struggling family. Whatever it looks like, it starts with an open heart and a willingness to be led by God. Because you know what? We all have something to offer. And I know that because I see people who tell me I've got nothing to offer. Everyone has something to offer. And it's those with the most messy and complicated stories themselves that often make the biggest difference. Every act of kindness, every prayer, every word of encouragement matters in God's kingdom. I feel most days that I haven't got a lot to give. And very, very early on, when I came to taking on this role of Open Door, I was like, God, I feel like that child who has a few loaves and fishes. Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't got a lot. And there's all this need. And it's overwhelming. But God says, give me what you have. Give me what you have and leave the rest to me. At Open Door, we rely on the support of volunteers, of local churches just like this one. Your prayers, your time, your generosity helps us to keep our doors open. But more than that, we need a people who are willing to live out Isaiah 58 in their everyday lives. People who are willing to spend themselves on behalf of the hungry and the oppressed. And the beauty is that we just don't get to do this alone. We're part of God's beautiful story. We get to do this together. And he shows us what it looks like when there's communities being restored and redeemed, where there is hope alive. As I come to an end, I want to read you a letter written by one of our clients. We'll pop it up on the screen. You may or may not be able to read that writing. But I wanted you just to sort of see that this client had written it. This is what he said. I'm just writing to say how much the Open Door in Exmouth have helped save my life. They have helped in every possible way. Support, food, one-to-ones. I met my sponsor there who took me to AA, and now I'm a year clean and sober. I see people off the street being helped, supported, and fed with a chat and a welcome. The volunteers do a great job. They aren't even paid. Without volunteers, we wouldn't have Open Door. I'm really grateful to Open Door. I would be dead by now if it wasn't for them. Always a listening ear and support available. It's great for the community and needed. If I won the lottery, I would donate a lot. He didn't say the lot, he said a lot, but you know, I'll take a lot. This young man is in Open Door pretty much three times a week. He's looking pretty dapper. He's on a faith journey himself. I'd like to say that every client we meet is on their own faith journey. I think everyone's on a faith journey, actually. I think everyone is. We just meet people at different points. I mean, that's the reality. And we have to be really sensitive, actually, to the people we meet. You know, safeguarding them and keeping them safe is our greatest priority. But with this particular young man, he's a bit further on a faith journey, and that means that sometimes he asks us to pray for him when he needs it. And believe you me, he did try to kill himself, and he has an injury that he will have to live with for the rest of his days. But you know what he has? He has hope. And he still has, in his bad days, when he feels really anxious and depressed and when all he wants is a drink, he knows he can come to us. And he knows that God's with him. He's also open to sharing his story. And he knows how to listen because he's been listened to. And he carries such a great hope in his heart. He literally humbles me every day. So let's end by reminding ourselves of God's promise when we answer his call to go. If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail.